Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C. Potter's beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Final regular season series. Padres Diamondbacks getting underway on Friday as we tape this. Ryan, by the time that the Padres play, we will know what needs to happen this weekend for them to get a home series. We already know the Padres and Cubs are going to meet in the wild card series. The Cubs, who are playing the Cardinals right now, and the last I checked, were winning. If the Cubs win, then the magic number is just one for the Cubs, which means, just know this, that if the Cubs win one of the final two games, they're in. If the Padres lose one of their three games, the Cubs are in. That's just how it is. So if the Padres, or if the Cubs win today, the Padres have to go 3-0, and they still might not make it. So that's the situation that we're in now, probably headed to Chicago after Sunday season finale.
Right. Might not make it, meaning might not host. Again, it's going to be Padres Cubs regardless. At this point, we're just figuring out where those games are going to be played.
I love that for the short attention span of our younger listeners and the Twitter generation, you're repeating that. Yes, I thought maybe the context clue would be that I said it's going to be Padres Cubs. So, yes, but I love it because honestly, that's some good feedback because yes, there'll be some people that would hear that 3 seconds after I said what I said and say, well, wait a minute. I thought they were already in. So to reiterate, Padres Cubs will be playing next week somewhere.
Right. Somewhere. And yes, as it stands right now, the Cubs are up 4-0 in the top of the sixth. They're playing the Cardinals. Scored two in the fourth, one in the fifth to go up 4-0. So you're right. If this were to hold, and again, knowing our luck, it won't, but if this were to hold, we're looking at, yes, the Padres would have to win their remaining three games and hope that the Cubs lose their remaining two games after today. If I were a gambling man, Kevin, and I am, I've already booked the flights to and from Chicago because I'm pretty confident that that's where everything's going to end up. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's tough. It has gone on a lot longer than, you know, it sure looked like it would. Didn't know the Cubs were going to have a 5-game losing streak, but that speaks to the unpredictable nature of baseball and of what's, you know, the 25 season in particular. It's wild. It is wild. And I hope that means it's going to be a wild postseason.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, if you just look at the teams that have already qualified for the postseason and the teams that are, you know, still trying to make it here with three games left, it's a compelling group. I'm not sure, and as good as the Brewers have been playing, Brewers have been best team in the National League, one of the best teams in baseball. You know, if they're the number one seed, the team you got to take down, you know, I don't think that they're terrifying. I think that the National League at least could be won by anybody who makes this tournament. You know, and there's reasons to argue for and against all of them here. First, though, I think we should get into a little bit of sort of the latest news with the San Diego Padres. Sort of a worst case scenario happened for them. Ramon Laureano on Wednesday suffered a broken finger while batting, part of a long at bat. He will be out for all of the wild card series. And Mike Schilt, who looks for the silver lining and everything, not even he would say that there's a likelihood, at least, that he could play at all this postseason. Kevin. Ramon Laureano has been such a big piece for them since he got here. I know he's been slumping lately. This, to me, seems like a significant blow, especially because of how left-handed the Cubs pitchers are.
Absolutely, it is. And that as much as anything. Now, like his presence in the lineup, his presence in on the team has been obviously welcome. Was super, super cold. And it wasn't for just a little while. I mean, a little while in the scope of the season, but not, I mean, really a good portion of his time here after an absolutely incredible start. So his overall numbers were really good. He was still a threat for sure to get you an extra base hit. Every time he came up, that's what you felt like because that's what his season has been like and his time with the Padres started out like. And so it is a big blow. But the left-handed nature of the Padres lineup now, I think is what really makes the Laureano absence a potential really glaring one because you're going to get Shota Imanaga. And, you know, it was him who got blew up by the Mets yesterday. blown up by the Mets. I'm not sure where I came up with blew up, but he got blown up by the Mets yesterday. But I will tell you that the trend has been when Padres pitchers or Padres hitters face pitchers who just got blown up, it doesn't go well for the Padres. That's just a little anecdotal something that I've noticed this season. So don't, you know, plus I must preach, the postseason is much different than the regular season. I think the Padres can do well enough against, is it Imanaga? It will be Imanaga to start. And then is it Boyd, the other left-hander in game two, or would they hold? I think the Padres this year have played their best baseball against good teams, and in particular, good pitchers. Now, you can argue with me that their record hasn't been, but no, go take a look at that record, and it's not as bad as it used to be. And take a look, if you dig down deeper into how they've done against good pitchers, finding a way, not like scoring six runs off them, because that's not going to happen, right? But finding a way to get them out of the game, yes, that the Cubs bullpen, there's some shakiness there. It's left-handed. It can get you. But there's some shakiness there. It's not quite the Dodgers shaky, but it's, you know, shaky. And I'm winning this series as of right now. But man, Ryan, you wouldn't have to talk too long or very persuasively to get me to waver on that prediction.
It's so funny. I got into a discussion yesterday with somebody I know who lives in the Chicago area and watches the Cubs and takes his kid to games a lot. And, you know, I went, man, I think the Padres are in trouble. And he went, no, the Cubs are in trouble. And I think we've reached this point where we have all watched the teams that we watch for 6 months, right? And in many cases, I think that it's easy to look at all of their flaws because we know them, right? Yep. It's easy to look at the things that the Padres haven't done well and the things that the Padres have struggled at lately and forget that you're playing a team that's just as flawed. You know, the Chicago Cubs are just as flawed as the San Diego Padres. The question is who's going to play better over a 72-hour stretch starting on Tuesday? Every team playing right now, especially the Dodgers, the team that's the best on paper, is tremendously flawed. And as followers of teams, I think that we get hung up on how flawed the team we're watching is. And we forget mm-hmm. sometimes that it's like that everywhere else.
And let me just tell you a little secret about the media, too. Mm-hmm. You sound like you're more discerning mm-hmm. if you are being critical of your team. Yes. Sounds like you're being more fair, more, you know, balanced, mm-hmm. more impartial if you're being critical of your team. Combine that with what you just said, which is absolute gospel that we all have to guard against, which is our being myopic and being so aware of all the flaws we've seen all season long, or say over the last 2 weeks or whatever period of time it is. And we can really focus on those things. Absolutely. And I just can't stress enough how different the postseason is from the regular season.
Yep. And keep in mind too, this is also true of everyone in the media. Kevin, you covered the NFL. Nobody watches fewer games than the guy who has to be covering a game while all the games are being played, right? And so, like, you know, I haven't watched the Chicago Cubs much at all this year. 3-4 games, 5 games, whatever it is, outside of when they played the Padres. Probably same for you. You know, we can talk a lot about the team that we're really dialed in on. All I've got to go with the Cubs is stats. And you know, if you look in terms of standings, the Padres and Cubs are right there next to each other. Padres play in a tougher division. Padres have had to really scratch and claw all year. You know, I'm very, very curious to see how these teams match up on Tuesday, regardless of where the games are being played. I think it's really fascinating. Back to Laureano real quick. You know, Kevin, what this means to me, at least, is that there's not going to be this big question of, is Ryan O'Hearn playing? That, you know, Ryan O'Hearn, I guess, will now play every day somewhere. Is that the idea, even against lefties, that you'll stick with Sheets and O'Hearn in the lineup every day?
You know, there's a case to be made for it, but there's a case to be made for Bryce Johnson as well. In particular, Wrigley Field, where the wind comes into play, the ballpark is quirky. You know, Gavin Sheets has done just a tremendous job. I mean, he really has. And he is a serviceable, if not serviceable plus left fielder, but this is not the time for that. So there's a real case to be made for that. And after Mike Schilt really seemed to be like, yeah, it seems like Gavin Sheets will be our guy. I don't think it was one of those where, oh, I better throw in Bryce Johnson's name. It felt like that he hasn't made up his mind there, and that there will be a lot of discussions among the group about that. But yes, we're going to see, you know, Gavin Sheets, Laureano, Arise. Not that I believe there was any chance we weren't going to see Arise, but he'll be in there. I mean, because right. What else are you going to do now? And so probably Arise is your DH, O'Hearn is your first baseman, and Sheets as your left fielder. Certainly, if Sheets starts, and if this were mid-August, Sheets, who was hitting righties and lefties and everybody instead of right now hitting nobody, then it would be Sheets. But if Sheets starts, certainly you get later in the game, and in particular, if it's close or if the Padres are up, I should say, and it's close, then you would see Bryce Johnson in there.
Right. I could see it kind of going both ways, too. You know, I could also see a scenario where, you know, maybe you're starting Bryce Johnson against a lefty, and then if you need some bat, you know, if you're down two in the fifth inning, maybe that's when you go, you know, a defense doesn't matter so much, and go with Gavin Sheets.
And that was the thing that you were going to have before, right? Like, I mean, well, not that specific scenario you're talking about, like Gavin Sheets available off the bench or O'Hearn available off the bench. Right. Certainly, I don't know how you were sitting O'Hearn at this point with what he's done the last week. But, you know, I guess it's another almost week away.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Can we talk about Bryce Johnson for a little bit? This is a guy who was up last year for a while, was traded away during the offseason or left during the offseason. Padres reacquired him this year. You look at his numbers, Kevin, he's hitting in the 300s. I know that there's not a ton of pop there, but man, baseball for 100 years has had guys like Bryce Johnson playing in the outfield or backing somebody up. Really good defensive player. Really good speed-wise, good base runner, and gets on base just enough. I think there's a lot to like with him. I think this is a guy who could be a backup outfielder for them for a very long time.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's played his way from 4A player. I mean, like solid 4A player. Like, this guy is not a major leaguer.
Right.
To what you just said, where, is this your fourth outfielder? You're a pinch runner? You're a guy who lays down a bunt? Is this your defensive replacement late in the game? Like, and a guy who you, gosh, it's not an automatic out when he's up. That would be a step above your 4A player. That's your utility guy, right? And 4A player is the guy who take a look at Bryce Johnson last year. That's a 4A player. Wow. Does a really good job. Can make himself a decent living for a while in AAA, but that guy doesn't belong here. Well, he got serious, and some guys like Mike McCoy, one of the assistant. Bryce Johnson knows who he is and has been that has been the. When I say he knows who he is, like there's this optimum player he can be right now.
Yeah, and he's somebody again could not make the Pirates out of a spring training, but could be starting a playoff game for the Padres. Again, one of the things I love about baseball. I mean, just. Who would have thought? And again, Kevin, how much time, energy, ink, podcast space did we spend talking about a bunch of guys who aren't here anymore? Right?
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time talking about Jason Hayward and Yuli Gurriel and Brandon Lockridge, a name I almost forgot.
Yep.
You know, those guys, you know, at least Hayward and Lockridge, played a lot of left field for the Padres this year. And to me, it's kind of ironic that, you know, they have this hole in left field now again, but because of the moves they made at the deadline, it's not as bad as it would have been had they not gotten Laureano and O'Hearn in the same trade.
Right. That is true. And that is why I felt like, in a way, it was that trade where they threw in a couple extra minor leaguers and got O'Hearn. That trade was the one that said to me, okay, they want to shore themselves up in every possible area. I mean, you could say the Mason Miller one, right? Which obviously now really good, especially the injury to Jason Adam, which has been a huge blow, I think. I mean, it's cost him 2-3, maybe more games just since he's been down potentially. You don't know that he would have come in and got the job done, but you know, history says he would have. That you could argue, oh, Mason Miller is the one that showed they didn't want any weak links. Well, yeah, I feel like you're correct on the O'Hearn one. That was a big one. And I said, that's the one I said at the time. Wow, this shows that this is the no weak links move right here. Yeah, love it. You don't know why a guy doesn't make another team. But you're right about that. Bryce Johnson won. It's not like the Pirates said, we're going young, so we don't need... Like, sometimes the Padres can use a Bryce Johnson or a Tyler Wade in a way that a crappy team that is trying to rebuild can't, because they want to give young guys a shot. The Pirates signed Tommy Pham for way more than Bryce Johnson would have cost. So it's not like they were, oh, Bryce, we don't have room for you because we got these young guys. It was just, no, you're not good enough to make our roster. And look, maybe he had a bad spring. I honestly didn't look. But that is always interesting. And I absolutely, I'm glad that you wanted to bring it up, because we so often, now that you have a good team and a team full of names, I find myself, oh my gosh, I haven't talked about or written about Bryce Johnson in a while. I haven't talked about or written about Yuki Matsui in a while. And people are going, yeah, because we don't want to hear about him. Okay, well, fine. But still, it's a nice story.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, Bryce Johnson reacquired. Kevin, who is the catcher? Brett?
Sullivan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Brett Sullivan. Yes. Padres traded Brett Sullivan to Pittsburgh to get Bryce Johnson back. I think it's funny, Kevin, that Bryce Johnson is a serviceable major leaguer making the league minimum, and the Pittsburgh Pirates, maybe the cheapest team in baseball, which is saying something, couldn't find room for him. Hey, before, let's put a bow on this Ramon Laureano talk and then move on to a couple of other things. Padres can call up somebody to take his spot starting today. Any indication who that might be?
No, because I don't care. Look, every player on a roster can impact a playoff game for sure. I just don't know who the Padres have that is going to be that guy. Like, they need a right-handed bat. So they have a switch hitter down there, and I wish I had Jeff Sanders on the speed dial here, because I mentioned his name the other day, but gosh darn it, a kid who's never played before, he's 24, he never played in the majors before, killing it in AAA. And you have Luis Campusano. What are you going to do, you know? Right. I mean, I guess, you know, who I think they should bring up or could bring up is Tyler Wade, but he's a left-handed hitter. Now, you know, maybe that's what you do anyway, but this was a big blow anyway. And then to add to it is, well, now who are you bringing off the bench? Like, it's going to be someone who is just never used.
Yeah. Jonathan Perlaza is the guy you're talking about.
Thank you.
Switch hitter. Right. Switch hitter has a 901 OPS or had a 901 OPS in AAA. He's a switch hitting second baseman. You know, yeah. I mean, it's not even like he can fill in late in. It's not even like you're addressing the problem. You're just calling up a guy.
Yeah. And I don't know who these outfield. I mean, Tirso Ornelas is a left-handed hitter. And again, like, that's a 4A player. Like, as of now, I root for Tirso to be the next Bryce Johnson or, you know, Ramon Laureano, because Ramon Laureano was considered a cast-off a ways back. But at this point, there is not a person in that AAA in the organization that you would say, oh yeah, this is the guy, especially outfielder. I mean, they just sent Will Wagner down, left-handed hitter. Now, some point, you just like this, you know, we've said about the starting rotation, you have to go with who you have.
Right.
So one of these guys is coming up and you will make the best of it, but it's not like, look, it wouldn't matter if they had their number one prospect or something like that. It wouldn't be ideal calling this guy up at this point anyway.
Right. I think it would be intriguing. And then I promise no more Luis Campusano talk for the rest of the year, Kevin. It would be interesting to me if they called him up only to see if he can get a dang hit in the season, in the 2025 season. If these games aren't going to matter or may not matter much, man, I would DH that dude 3 days in a row and just see if something unlocks. And then maybe he's the last guy off your bench in a playoff series. Maybe he's a guy who can run into a home run at a breezy Wrigley Field, at a Bandbox in Milwaukee. Maybe that's it. But again, if it's Luis Campusano and he makes your playoff roster and he's getting at bats in the postseason, that probably means that something has gone horribly wrong.
Yep.
Fair?
Without a doubt. And that's where they're at. So
that's where they're at. Hey, let's talk about guys who actually play. Manny Machado, you've written at length about this, Kevin. He is really scuffling here. What seems to have been the problem, or seems to be the problem, and can he flip a switch when the playoffs start?
Manny can flip a switch at any time, as well as any player. Now, I would think that he wouldn't play this weekend. Or maybe he gets out there and gets a few innings on Sunday. Like, that would give him four full days off. Actually, five. You go to the workout day on Monday. The guy, I think the best thing you can hope for is that he's tired, right? Because he has said that he was, and he looks bad. He's missing pitches that he doesn't miss for this sustained period of time. He's not exactly making hard contact regularly. There's all the things that you always say, like, oh, well, this, but he's doing this, and like, he's still Manny. Like, there have not been a lot of signs over the last nearly 2 months where you would go, oh, it's still Manny. Who knows? Here's one I'll throw out for you, is that Manny has been insanely hot at the end of seasons and not very good in the postseason. Maybe he flips that switch.
Yeah, maybe that is the thing that switches. Yeah. To me, what's troubling, Kevin, is Manny Machado is in his 30s. This is old for a baseball player, young for me and you, but old for a baseball player. I think that when you see long stretches of swing and miss in a guy with a 3 in front of his age, you just hope that this isn't the start of a decline that for some guys happens pretty precipitously. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm glad you brought it up, because I'm going to always wait until what I feel is the last possible moment to bring that up, out of respect. And also out of the fact that we're not scouts or coaches, and that these things can be tough to predict. And there have been plenty of players that looked like they were washed up who weren't, but you were not off base at all in terms of, I think it'd be irresponsible to not, as an observer of the team who trying to keep one step ahead, and to not at least have that thought cross your mind. So, it's the swing and miss. It's the missing pitches he should hit. It's the prolonged nature of it, when what he has built his Hall of Fame resume on is not. I mean, he is the guy who doesn't go 0-for-20. Or if once he reaches that, it's like, nope, boom. And then he gets hot again. It's what we've always said, and it's what we've always seen. And we're not seeing it here. The man is amazing, though, in his ability to roll out of bed and gets, and do it. And for the postseason, maybe. Yeah. What a story that would be, because it's been really bad for a couple months.
Right. There are some reasons to be optimistic, I guess. His average exit velo is in the 93rd percentile among major leaguers, according to Baseball Savant. His hard hit percentage is in the 92nd percentile. But you know what? Bat speed's just 84th, and his squared up percentage. You're back. But yeah, barrel rate.
Lately, and I haven't done a deep dive other than on the swing and miss. The hard hit hasn't been as much lately. So,
right. Yeah, barrel rate's not good. Barrel rate's not good. Hard hit percentage isn't good on some stuff. So that's not great. Kevin, what's the latest with Fernando Tatis?
Supposedly back in the building today. We'll see. Supposedly passed any sort of contagious point, and was rebounding. What that means about how much work he would get this weekend, he'll get some, provided he's enough, because he obviously the first week, when other guys at least got a couple games in. So I wouldn't think at this point, I mean, he's 26, and I wouldn't think at this point that a 3-day absence would be too much to be concerned about, as long as he gets some playing time this weekend.
Right. The key is to get him back in the game a little bit, just get some game action. So it's not a week or a week and a half or whatever it is between games for him once the playoffs start. I mean, this could be a big storyline, too. Some people, and I know that they haven't said what he had, but, the symptoms line up with, know, a really bad flu or even COVID or something like that. Some people rebound great, some people don't. And, you know, I think that that is certainly something to watch, because Fernando Tatis, for all the criticisms and all the uneven play sometimes, nobody on this Padre team has been better in the playoffs than Fernando Tatis. He has a 1300 OPS in playoff games. The one guy whose playoff numbers are much better than his career numbers. And that's not the case for most people, including many of the Padres' best stars. So very curious to see how he rebounds starting this weekend. Kevin, Padres Diamondbacks, this series means a lot to the Diamondbacks, less so to the Padres. I'm not going to get too deep into what we're looking at this weekend. If you're worried about the Diamondbacks playoff chances, listen to a Diamondbacks podcast. I'm sure there are plenty of them. But, you know, tonight we've got Zach Gallen going up against Yu Darvish. Any takeaways there in terms of Darvish, what they're looking for out of him?
Yeah, I want to see about both him and Michael King tomorrow, just that they can get through five innings and make those, you know, adjustments. And for you in particular, kind of just stay steady where like the location isn't lost for a minute or two and boom, boom, boom. You know, all of a sudden it's 2-0, 3-0 is quicker than anyone can, you know, get someone up in the bullpen. And so that's been the issue there. And then with Michael King, it's to not have those bouts of command issues that he can't correct, you know, fairly immediately, which is what has made him one of the things that has made him so good. Obviously against Chicago, he got out without any damage, but that was, I'll give him some good pitching, a fortuitous opponent of young players helping him out, and a big pickup from Adrian Morahone is what got Michael King through five scoreless innings on Sunday. So they would like to see Michael King on that game, like Michael King for a good five innings on Saturday.
Right. Michael King will go up against Eduardo Rodriguez, and then heading into Saturday, the Diamondbacks have Brandon Pfaadt, who's been bad this year, but you know that there's a lot to like there with him, and he will probably have the advantage because the Padres are going TBA.
That guy can't pitch. The Diamondbacks are in the same spot as the Padres, except for playing for their playoff life. They're two behind the Mets now. I don't know, to be honest, what their tiebreaker situation is.
But Diamondbacks own the tiebreaker.
It's pretty rough for the Diamondbacks to make it.
Yeah.
So that's why it's the same exact situation then. They need to win two more games than the Mets over this period here. And so that's a little rough.
Absolutely.
The Mets win today. The Mets win today and the Padres win today. The Diamondbacks' last two games don't matter either. So,
right. I would expect the Diamondbacks to manage, Torey Lovullo to manage tonight's game like it's game seven of the World Series. Would not be surprised if you saw some starting pitchers in relief. Would not be surprised if you saw them really try to go for it to win this game. Because again, if they lose, season over, essentially, for them. And if they were to lose, the Padres would have ended their season and their playoff hopes for the second straight year, which is interesting. Maybe a little.
It is. There was a point where it's like, oh man, are the Diamondbacks going to be able to come in with some revenge from last year, because that was pretty ugly. I don't think the Diamondbacks came out of nowhere. Maybe it saved Lovullo's job. I don't know, it should have been in danger anyway, but you never know. That was what they did, letting go, you know, best players. Absolutely incredible what they've done, but they were pretty far back, and that was a big ask.
Right. And you wonder with something like that too, you know, will other teams look at what the Diamondbacks did, or will Diamondbacks management look at what they did and go, see, we'll just play the kids. Like, you know, they got better by trading their expensive players. That almost never works.
That's fool's gold. That's like if you finish hot thinking you're going to be hot the next year. Yeah, that's generally fool's gold. I mean, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every one of these episodes. This is our last regular season episode of the year. So I'm going to hit you with a big one here. Of all the teams in the National League, who would you most want to play in the first round of the playoffs?
Of all the teams that are realistic, or can I include the Rockies at home?
Cannot include the Rockies.
You know, I'm not scared at all by the Brewers. Now, their pitching is better than what they showed here. They just don't have a dangerous lineup. I'm not at all scared by the Brewers. I thought the Mets match up really well and have a really good offense, and it depends on which Mets team you're going to face, but I could say that about all of them. The only team I wouldn't really want to face is the Phillies, but I still think their pitching is really good and their offense is really dangerous. I think it's probably the most complete offense in the National League. So the Dodgers certainly know how to win, but the Phillies is the one I wouldn't want to. And I think the Padres are getting a nice, I think now this probably means it's not. And the Cubs or the Brewers are going to the World Series, but I think the Padres have the right path to the World Series. To the National League Championship Series. By having right now, it lines up to face the Cubs and the Brewers.
Right. And as much as the Padres have struggled against the Dodgers, well, at least last year, I'm okay with them being on the opposite side of the bracket from the Dodgers, at least until the NLCS. I think that, there's the Dodgers for as bad as they've been, and they've been awful. They scare me the most of anybody. They just do, simply because of the starting pitching and what they can throw at you, especially in a short series.
Yep. And the Padres penchant to, go cold against them. It's wild. Who knows? I'm with you, even though both of us can make the argument that maybe that is the team you want to face because of their bullpen issues. But yeah, and I'm just willing to admit that maybe that's just I've watched too many Padres Dodgers games. But when it keeps happening over and over, even when you know that maybe the Padres have the superior side, then you're like, no, go ahead and put them off. Make the Dodgers beat you over 7 games with that pitching staff, with that bullpen.
Yep, with that bullpen that's been bad and injured and everything else. Kevin,
to the point they're putting starting pitchers in there and talking about doing that during the postseason, which is, hey, look, that's highly creative. And if it's not working, what are you going to do? Just keep throwing these guys out there because they're your relievers? So I commend the Dodgers on that, but that's a scary and dangerous way to try to win another World Series.
Yep. Everybody was throwing flowers at Clayton Kershaw's feet, and justifiably so, the other night as he made his last start in L.A. And then he's pitching on a Wednesday night in the 8th inning in Phoenix. Weird. So weird. Anyway, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Diamondbacks 3-game series. Kevin, next time I talk to you, we will be in Chicago. Or maybe in San Diego, but probably in Chicago, previewing the Padres versus the Cubs. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.